We have now gone a month without a game being played, and we know we are inside 2 weeks until draft day 2020. All fired up for the first round. So not only is it going to be the most watched NFL draft, I think, in the history of the league, odds are, no pun intended, it's going to be the most gambled upon NFL draft in the history of the league. So to break it all down, we bring in one of our gurus. You see this guy all the time on Sports Grid, finding a way to keep busy despite all the shutdowns. We welcome in my good pal Jared Smith over at The Grid. What's happening, Smitty? How are you, buddy?
JJ, good morning, good night. Whatever time of day you're enjoying this, it's certainly been an interesting few weeks since we last spoke. I feel like nothing's changed, you know, because we haven't left our apartments or our homes, but we're still grinded, man. The draft is, it's going to be probably the most watched sporting event of the year, I would say.
Hands down, because we're all bunkered down. We all need something to get our minds off of all this craziness in the world. And listen, you have been doing phenomenal work breaking down the odds that continue to change and continue to evolve. Smitty, before we dive into a bunch of these, how much stock do you put in these lines? Is it what, you know, the numbers tell you with the draft? Is it what you're hearing from these mock draft analysts? Is it somewhere in between? Like, you know, in many instances, like in an NFL game or in a college basketball game, you and I can look at a number and say, wow, that doesn't feel right. That line is spot on. That line is really good. With a draft, I feel it's drastically different. So, like, what is the general approach in trying to nail a bunch of these?
Well, the moves have been a lot more drastic than I've remembered in recent years. And I think that's, you know, to your point, I think it's a more bet on marketplace than what we've seen in the past. It's kind of funny. I think FanDuel, and obviously FanDuel is one of the books that we use exclusively at Sports Grid. So, you know, that's kind of the ones that I've really been monitoring here on the East Coast. And what I've noticed is the moves have not been subtle. And we'll read a report, we'll read something that this team likes this player better, and we'll see the odds move almost immediately. Now, you know better than anyone, JJ, at this time, especially at this close to the draft, a lot of the things that get released are smoke screens. They're meant to head fake. It's a rope-a-dope like Muhammad Ali. So that's what makes it harder as a handicapper, is the moves usually do lead me to certain areas, but some moves are very false. They're just not right. So you have to be on high alert with a lot of these lines and a lot of the odds, because you almost have to make your decisions and stick to them, no matter what moves in the marketplace you see. And that's where your handicapping has to come into play, where the move sometimes can lead you to a certain point. But if you trust your gut, if you trust your pick, you know, you just kind of ignore the noise a little bit.
Okay, Jared, let's start with Joe Burrow. You and I both know he's going to be the number one pick, but Cincinnati's got to be what, like minus 3,000, minus 4,000 to be the team taking him? Like, it's got to be an outrageous number. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's crazy.
Yeah, well, Joe's 7,000 on right now, FanDuel, to go number one. Now, that doesn't mean he goes number one to Cincinnati. That just means he goes number one overall. I haven't seen an exact number for Cincinnati's pick. I will say this, the Bengals are incredibly high to draft an offensive player in that first round. So that right there is your kind of, you know, ticket that even if they do trade back, it'll probably still be in the top few picks, and they probably would still be in a position to land Tua if they were able to do that. I haven't heard a ton about Cincinnati trading out. I'm sure they'll get offers, but just like the Redskins trading out of two, I think you would have to get some kind of offer to trade out of those first two picks to give up a guy like Joe Burrow or Chase Young. So I think the first two picks, one definitely more than two, is pretty safe. Cincinnati, it would take some kind of, you know, heaven and earth moving offer to get them out of that spot. I think it's pretty safe to say that's the one thing we can bank on in this draft, is that Joe Burrow will go one to the Bengals.
And you feel that confident about Young also going two to Washington?
Now, there's obviously, the more you slip down in the draft, there's more room to wiggle. I think the Redskins, again, it would have to take some monster offer to get them off of Chase Young. Ron Rivera, defensive coach, obviously he's a guy who brought in Kyle Allen, so they're a little more set at quarterback than you know, they don't really necessarily need to go look after one of these quarterbacks. So Chase Young makes a ton of sense to them where they are picking in this draft. I've heard reports that maybe the Dolphins would be interested in two. I don't think they need to get up to two to get Tua. Now, maybe there's another mystery team we don't know. I don't think the Chargers have the firepower to get up to two. I think it would have to be some other random team that we're not thinking of right now to come out of the woodworks and make a deal with the Redskins to jump Miami to get up there to get Tua at two. And then that would leave, a little bit of maneuvering, in picks 3, 4, and 5 if Chase Young was still there. But I haven't heard a ton about Washington. I think Detroit at 3, JJ, that to me is the pivot spot. That to me is where the Lions are going to get the most calls. We've already heard they've gotten a ton of calls, and that's where I really think your Dolphins come into play.
I don't disagree. And when it comes to the Lions at 3, I think it's very simple. Jared, if they're staying at 3, I think they're taking Okuda. And I think the line indicates where you've seen them. You know, I think Okuda is, what, like right around like plus 120? I'm seeing a few minutes ago. Let me see right now. I have it in front of me. I think he's like plus 130 to be the number 3 overall pick. And in 2 is plus 170. So I think that tells you Lions stay at 3. Okuda's their guy. And if Miami or the Chargers or whoever is going to move up, I think that is where you maybe think about firing in on Tua at that 3rd pick. Like, I would not throw in a wager on the over-under for Tua at 3.5. I think you're better off just taking it straight out at 3 because your odds are going to get more value.
Yeah, actually, and it's actually kind of unique. We've seen the odds for Tua at 3.5, the under, meaning, and again, read into these picks before you bet him. So under 3.5 on a guy means he's going to get taken first, second, or third. And I'm actually been surprised. I've seen that market move a lot. So Tua under 3.5 is all the way up to plus 170. And that speaks exactly to what you're talking about. It's the same value to take him as the 3rd overall pick. So, you know, I guess you get a little wiggle room now because if something does crazy happen at 2 and he does get taken second, if you bet the under 3.5, you protect that a little bit. And since now it is the same odds that just betting him as the 3rd overall pick at plus 170, it makes sense to just protect it for the same price and go under 3.5 just in case madness happens and he is taken 2nd. I will say this. I mean, if we weren't talking about Joe Burrow as the number 1 pick, I'm surprised at Tua. I would be shocked if he was outside of the top 3. I mean, this is a quarterback that we've been talking about now for almost 3 years as the can't-miss prospect. Pro Football Focus rated him as the best quarterback they've evaluated since Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, and Kyler Murray, all 3 number one picks, Burrow the presumptive number one. So I don't understand how Tua falls to 4. And actually, that's the most intriguing thing. If the Dolphins decide not to trade up, and Tua's there at 4. Now, I know Dave Gettleman doesn't like to trade back, but his phone is going to be ringing off the hook because if Tua all of a sudden drops to 4, all of a sudden he's $1 million cheaper on the slot, on the guaranteed money. And it's a lot cheaper to trade up to 4 than it is to 3. You're going to have so many more teams coming out of the woodworks to try to get a guy who literally could be the best quarterback in this draft in 10 years to trade up to 4 instead of 3. So if the Dolphins decide and the Lions decide just to take Okuda at 3, If Tua continues to slip in this draft, it becomes a lot easier for GMs to move up.
We got Jared Smith over at Sports Grid. We're breaking down the NFL draft and some of the vaguest sense of what you may have with the NFL draft. Okay, you hit on the smokescreen aspect, and I think you're seeing that now, Jared, when it comes to Tua's odds in Miami and with the Chargers, and Justin Herbert, who now is kind of working his way into that mix. You're not buying that idea? You're not buying some of these reports that are out there? And curiously speaking, when it comes to the odds, how much did they move with Herbert becoming maybe more of a likely factor for Miami with the 5th pick?
So it's funny. Herbert's odds haven't moved much at all. He's been pretty locked in at 5.5 pretty much the entire time. I've seen a little fluctuation to the over. I don't think Herbert's a factor in this conversation. I think Herbert's a great prospect. I wouldn't even be surprised, to be honest with you. I've done some mock drafts myself where I have the Chargers deciding to take one of these, you know, big old linemen instead of going Justin Herbert and just, you know, throwing their faith in Tyrod Taylor and maybe taking a quarterback later in the draft. I'm not sold on Herbert as an elite quarterback. I'm not sold on, I mean, maybe the Dolphins do like him over Tua because of injury concern. But if you just look at the player and you just grade what you see, there's no way you can tell me Justin Herbert is a better quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa. I just don't buy that. Again, injuries certainly can play a factor, and even Tua's putting out his own smoke screens that he's 100% healthy. He could play today, as he should be saying that. But I just don't buy the fact that Herbert grading him, just off the eye test, based on watching film, you can say Herbert's a better quarterback than Tua. I just don't buy that argument.
Okay, Jared, you're hearing a ton about the wide receivers. From a Vegas market, I'm really surprised with the way Henry Ruggs has moved up the ranks. Are you surprised that, you know, he now all of a sudden, from a guy who I didn't think was the number one receiver on his team, I thought it was Jerry Jeudy, yet CeeDee Lamb would put up the monster year at Oklahoma. Now you've seen it some places, right? Henry Ruggs is the favorite to be the first receiver taken.
Yeah, it's actually weird. That has been a marketplace because of how many receivers are going to be taken in the first round. That's been a marketplace that we've seen a lot of movement in. And I think also because wide receivers in general are very polarizing. You know, you might look at one and love him, and then another one has a similar skill set. But there's one little thing about them that's different, and you might not. We have two receivers at the top of this draft that I think are very similar. Lamb maybe a little bit better yards after the catch. Jeudy maybe a little more polished route running. I would compare Jeudy to more of an Odell type. And I would say CeeDee Lamb kind of reminds me of DeAndre Hopkins a little bit. Ruggs is kind of outside of that. Ruggs is obviously the fastest wide receiver in this draft, but I think he has a lot of polish that needs to be added to his game. I think there's a GM that's going to be able to justify overreaching for Ruggs because of that speed, just kind of like they did with John Ross the other year. With the Bengals, he probably was drafted a few spots higher than he really should have been. But then again, I think if you have a choice of these three guys, I would not be taking Ruggs first.
Okay, Jared. Now, we have a New York audience, as you know. So when it comes to the odds, I mean, you are on WFN in New York. I think you know
of
that.
Of course.
I think I know that. I would hope. I know that I'm working for a particular station.
I was singing the jingle in my head before I got on.
Exactly. You're singing a theme and everything. Okay, from the Giants' odds standpoint, what are they looking at right now for who that fourth pick would be? Like, from Vegas' standpoint, who is the favorite for that particular pick?
So the Giants' odds, to me, have gotten very clear. I've seen their odds move pretty significantly towards an offensive lineman over the last few days. That's where I'm going with the pick. I got FanDuel at even money. For the Giants to draft an O-lineman. I believe it was 2 or 3 days ago. It's up to minus 150 now. Now, when it comes to the first draft pick, the actual player, we're seeing Isaiah Simmons and Tristan Wirfs kind of split the difference here. And I don't buy the smokescreen about Isaiah Simmons. I think that's another one of those kind of things that you just, you kind of digest and move on from. I don't think Simmons is a guy, to me, that can be taken in the top five. He doesn't have a position in the NFL. I mean, he's an all-world player, and he was all over the field for Clemson last season. I just don't see him being a guy that really fits into an NFL roster right away. It's going to take some time for him to kind of figure out where he belongs. And I think if you're the Giants and you've got, your pick of any of these offensive linemen, and there's four really good ones. Becton's probably the biggest reach at Louisville. I don't know if he's going to be the fourth pick, but we've seen the Giants reach a little bit in the past at the top of the first round. Now, he's got the biggest upside, I think, Becton from Louisville. But then you've got Wirfs from Iowa. You've got Thomas and Wills from the SEC. I mean, these are all can't-miss right tackles. I don't think Dave Gettleman can pass up the opportunity to draft the right tackle of the future at four. I think that would be a mistake if he did. Wirfs, to me, is the safest pick. Becton, again, has the highest upside, and you can't go wrong with these two studs in the SEC. Thomas started every game of his career, gave up 7 sacks at Georgia, and Wills is just an absolute beast. I would go with one of the hog mollies, JJ. That's how they're listed here on FanDuel. They got him as the best hog mollies available. I know Dave Gettleman loves to say that. I would go O-line for the Giants at four.
Now, Jared, from a Jets standpoint, wide receiver or offensive line, to me, if they have a chance to get one of those four linemen, I would take one. I'd get my receivers in the second and the third round. The odds right now, are they more leaning in the direction of a receiver? They leaning more in the direction of one of your hog mollies?
Yeah, I mean, it's saying O-line right now, but not by much. I think it's a coin flip for the Jets. I think the Jets are in a bit of a different spot because I don't think they're going to get their pick of these offensive linemen. So they might grade Wirfs ahead of Becton or Thomas ahead of Wills. I don't know what their exact draft board looks like. My guess is they do have their choice. I've heard a little bit of chatter about Wills that points me in that direction. Right now, he's actually one of the lowest O-linemen on the board for the Jets at plus 700. I think that's a good pick because I think he'll be there at 11. And again, if he's not there, I mean, there's a decent chance that a lot of GMs have your sentiment. And they think, listen, these wide receivers, a little bit overvalued. And I've done some research on some previous number one wide receivers over the last 3 or 4 years. It's about 50-50 hit or miss in terms of, you know, upside. You know, we've seen some busts in there. We've seen some Laquan Treadwells in there. We've seen some Josh Doctson's in there. We've also seen some Amari Cooper's in there and some Will Fuller's, and some would argue about him, you know, based on his health. But we've seen guys really not perform up to their first-round grade at wide receiver. O-line's a different story. If you're drafting them O-line in the first round, I would say 75-80%, you've got a pretty high success right there. I would go O-line if there's someone there. If Wills is there at 11, that's where I'd go. But if the Jets are in a spot where they don't have their number one offensive lineman on the board, I don't have an issue with them taking Jerry Jeudy. But again, if all things are equal and you're one of your big hog mollies is there at 11, I don't understand how you don't want to, again, protect Sam Darnold. Keep him upright. Clearly, that was the issue last year. They made some adjustments in the offseason, and they made some additions at O-line, but I don't think they did enough, really, to solidify it. If they get another big-time tackle, I think that would really shore up the line. That's where I'd go. The odds are kind of pointing you there, but again, it's tougher at 11 because we just don't know who's going to be there.
Jared Smith over at Sports Grid. Okay, Jared, before we get you out of here, and I know that this list is going to change a ton for you between now and next Thursday, but I can basically guarantee you have thrown a couple of wagers in already. So for the WFAN audience that is waiting with bated breath, what Love are it. Some of the draft day props that you would lock in right here and right now?
So I don't understand how it's minus money to have a running back drafted in the first round. To me, that's crazy. We haven't really seen a ton of top-flight running backs in this class. I think DeAndre Swift is the best of the bunch, but I don't think he's a first-round back. I grabbed under a half running backs in the first round at plus 198. To me, that's obviously been the trend we've seen, less running backs taken early, and you're getting plus money on something that I think is a fairly safe bet. I also, I'm telling you, I really think Herbert is kind of overvalued here, over 5.5 to me. I don't think there's any chance that he gets taken in the first 5 picks. So as much as people are saying Herbert might go over 2, I don't see that happening. Herbert over 5.5 and under a half running backs in the first round. Giants taking O-line's a good pick as well. And then the position of the Eagles' first pick I thought was interesting. Their top 5 guys on the board are all wide receivers. So I grabbed wide receiver at minus 200. I think that's a fairly safe bet as well. It's kind of weird. You can find value sometimes in some of the minus money, which I know kind of goes against what we normally talk about. But some of these picks are just almost locked. And if you can find a right price, I think there's some value there.
Jared, I'll be rooting like crazy for that Herbert over 5.5 because I don't want to see him with the 5th pick for the Miami Dolphins.
There you go.
I hope that ends up being the pick that you dial in because I'll celebrate it. I almost, from my like heart and my like years of being a Dolphin fan and all of the wrong choices over the years, I have like the worst feeling in the world that could happen. So I'm hoping that your Vegas sense kind of talks the Dolphins in the direction they should be going. So,
do you think Herbert's the guy? Do you think Herbert's the guy?
No, I think it should be Tua. I think it's very simple. I think the Dolphins at either 5 or 3 need to go and get Tua.
Yeah, I don't buy that you know the Dolphins are looking at this tape and they're like, oh yeah, we like Herbert over Tua. Like, what tape are you watching? I mean,
see, that's what I keep asking. Jared, you watch college football. I watch college football. Based upon everything we have seen in games, how could anybody with a straight face, assuming both of these guys are durable, that is the only thing you could say in favor of Justin Herbert is that you like his body and his prototype more. But when it comes to playing, it's not even close between these two guys.
No. Herbert's got the better arm. I don't doubt that. But there's so much more to playing quarterback in the NFL than having a good arm. I watched the cut-up of Tua, and we got a lot of time on our hands here in quarantine. I watched the cut-up of Tua's game against Ole Miss. and how he picked apart the zone defense, and they do a great job with obviously the tapes when you can really break down all the angles, and how he attacks zone defenses. I mean, it's Drew Brees-like. I mean, he's the left-handed Drew Brees. I mean, the guy is an absolute machine at breaking down defenses. To me, that's the difference. Herbert's a thrower. Herbert has the arm strength. Herbert's got the body. Tua is a quarterback. We know we talk about in pitching the difference between a pitcher and a thrower. Tua's a pitcher. He's not a thrower. And that's who I want. I want a guy who's going to think at the position at quarterback in the NFL.
Jared Smith, you can check him out over at Sports Grid. Unbelievable perspective, draft-wise, Vegas-wise, all that combined into one. And, Jared, we may have to check in maybe after the draft that Friday morning and see how we did, my friend.
Yeah, I've got a mock draft that I'm going to put out there the night of the draft. I'm not going to do every pick. I'm probably going to do the top 15, and then I'll do positions for the bottom half because it just gets so crazy at the bottom. And then I think I've got some good props here. I'll probably give out some more before the draft next Thursday.
Tremendous. Thanks for staying up late. Appreciate it, man. Have a wonderful day, all right?
Anytime, brother. Good stuff, JJ. Be well.
There you have it. The great Jared Smith. Smitty, check him out over at Sports Grid. I hope and pray that he is right on Herbert over 5.5. And my, like, gut sinking feeling in my stomach is wrong. Because the sinking feeling in my stomach is that next week I'm going to be miserable. I hope I'm wrong on that. Because I want to be in a good mood on draft day. I really do. I don't want to be miserable. And the Justin Herbert pick would make me miserable.